And about the key of three and the offices of Christ. Christ came and died as a prophet. He is presently our high priest, and soon he will come and rule over his thousand-year-long kingdom on the earth. And we were just progressing through the scriptures that talk about Christ as our king, our coming king. And we had just spoken about the stone that would be cut out of a mountain without hands, speaking of Jesus and his kingdom and how it would crush all the other kingdoms and it would continue forever. And then we're to the next scripture that goes along with the statement that we have written here. He will reign as king over Israel according to the Davidic covenant. So if I think we can get the sense of this through selected scriptures in 2 Samuel 7. So if you'll turn to 2 Samuel 7, we're going to begin at verse 4 and skip around and finish with verse 29. Verse 4 of 2 Samuel 7 says, But it came about in the same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, Go and say to my servant David, Thus says the Lord, Are you the one who should build me a house to dwell in? So here we have Nathan coming to David, and he's speaking to David a message from God. And then we'll jump down here to verse 8. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you be ruler over my people Israel. So this is all Nathan speaking to David. Then we'll jump down to verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. So this is the Davidic covenant. This is a covenant that God is making with David. He's speaking it through the prophet Nathan. And then verse 17, in accordance with all these words and all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Verse 18, then David the king went in and sat before the Lord and said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me this far? So now we have David speaking to the Lord. And jump down to verse 25. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and his house, confirm it forever and do as thou hast spoken. So God said he's going to make David's house, his kingdom, be established forever. And David says, God, do it. And in verse 26, he says, Do it that thy name may be magnified forever by saying, The Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and may the house of thy servant David be established before thee. Now let's jump down to verse 28. And now, O Lord God, thou art God, and thy words are truth. And thou hast promised a good thing to thy servant. Now, therefore, may it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken, and with thy blessing may the house of thy servant be blessed forever. So this is just talking about the kingdom of David, the king of David, the throne of David, continuing on forever. And of course, it's the throne of David that Jesus will sit on when he comes to reign in his kingdom. So that summary of those verses He will reign as king over Israel according to the Davidic covenant.
All right, and then we say, next after that, he will reign as king over the entire earth and all nations. So he will not simply be king on the throne of David over Israel, but he will be king over all the earth and will rule with a rod of iron. And we can look at Psalm 2 to see this. So let's go there first.
This is a really an interesting psalm, this Psalm 2.
Why don't you talk about it, Mark?
Okay. We'll just start with verse 1 and read right through it. And this has to do with Jesus setting up his kingdom and Jesus putting down all the nations. Like we said, the stone that's cut out of the mountain will destroy all these kingdoms. Why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. Like the kings of the earth are taking counsel against Lord God and the Lord Jesus. The anointed would be Jesus. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. That's what the kings of the earth are saying. We don't want to be under their rule. Now here's God. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Mount Zion, my holy mountain. Of course, that's God installing Jesus, his appointed, anointed king upon his holy mountain. That's Mount Zion, upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, here's the decree of the Lord, thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thy inheritance. So that's God saying that Jesus' inheritance is going to be the nations. We know that Jesus is going to be the heir of all things. He's going to get the nations as his inheritance. And the very ends of the earth is thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. This is Jesus talking about ruling the nations. Or God talking about, he's telling that Jesus would break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth, or rulers of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are those who take refuge in him.
I love that psalm. It speaks of Jesus' inheritance. And I was just sitting there thinking how when he was 12 years old in the temple and had such a brilliant comprehension of scripture, that probably he had read this psalm and known that he was to receive the nations, the very ends of the earth, as his possession one day, so that when Satan came and offered him the kingdoms in his way, he could say, don't believe I'll take those in this way. I think I'll wait for the fulfillment of Psalm 2. Get them in God's way. He's got them stored up for me as my inheritance, the very ends of the earth, and that he would break them with a rod of iron and shatter them like earthenware. They would belong to him. Well, the next thing that we are going to look at is Revelation 12, verse 5, which also tells us this same thing. Revelation chapter 12. Is speaking allegorically, but has certain very literal meanings. It talks there about a great sign appearing in heaven and a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Now that's representing Israel as the woman. The sun and the moon, remember that...
Carol, tell them where you are.
Revelation 12, chapter 12. The sun and the moon were under the woman's feet. On her head, a crown of 12 stars just represents Jacob and his wife or wives and the 12 tribes. And then it says she was with child, the nation of Israel was with child, and cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. This is Satan, the dragon. He was responsible for deceiving and causing a third of the stars of heaven, represents the angels who defected with him and were thrown to the earth. And then after that it says he stood before the woman, he stood before Israel, and she was about to give birth to Jesus so that he might devour the child. This is Herod wanting to get rid of the child as soon as he came. And it says she gave birth to the son, a male child, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and that is Jesus Christ. He was the male child that came forth from Israel to be our Savior, and who not only will be our Savior but our King, who will rule the nations with a rod of iron. It says, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne, which represents his resurrection and ascension. And then we have a big gap in prophecy, and it says the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God, and that represents thousands of years later when Israel, a little portion of Israel, one third maybe not quite the whole third, will be protected by God in a place in the wilderness while Antichrist and his forces are on the rampage. And two-thirds of Israel is destroyed. That remnant will be nourished for 1,260 days and protected, so that a remnant will be protected by God to return to Christ and be restored and set up as a nation during the millennium. So that just... it's a little bit more than talking about him as king, but it just shows there that he's the male child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron.
That's the point we're making here, that mm-hmm. he's going to rule, and he will rule with mm-hmm. a rod of iron. And I guess we ought to think a little bit about what it means to rule with a rod of iron. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that it means there's not going to be
any opposition.
There's not... what he says is going to be the way it's going to be.
And be carried out. He will be an absolute monarch with all authority.
An absolute monarch, a benevolent dictator.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a little bit more about that in Revelation chapter 2, second chapter of the book of Revelation, and the verses are 26 and 27. The words of Jesus there to the church at Thyatira, to the overcomers, verse 26, he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, meaning the overcomer, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. As I also have received authority from my Father. So the overcomer will also rule along with Christ with a rod of iron over the nations and have that same authority that Jesus has from his Father because he overcame.
Okay, well, that gets us down to the scriptures at the end of this little section of the outline, this section that speaks of Jesus as the King. The first one of those scriptures we'll go to is Matthew 2:6. So we're just looking at scriptures that have to do with Jesus as the King. And this is a quotation from the Old Testament. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So Jesus is that ruler, and he is going to shepherd Israel. You know, when he came the first time, he was not a ruler. He was a suffering servant, and he didn't shepherd Israel. They rebelled against him. I think another scripture, we're looking, this is a quotation from the Old Testament, and if we go to Jeremiah 23, we can read 1 through 6, and it'll help us to get the picture a little better. First, he starts out with woes to those shepherds who are destroying Israel. That's what the first verse says. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who are tending my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I'm about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself shall gather my remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them and shall bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. So this is something that's going to happen during the reign of Christ over the earth, or just before it. And I shall be raising up shepherds over them, and they will tend them. And they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up David, a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Okay. So this is a prophecy about this coming shepherd over Israel. And this will happen in the coming days, in the coming days of the glorious kingdom.
All right, and let's turn now to Revelation chapter 19. At the very end of the Bible, and we'll see that that's the point at which we see the King coming. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, we see heaven opened. And it's at this time that the Battle of Armageddon is fought, and there at verse 11 we see heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So there we see the king coming in his thunder and glory and beginning to take on his kingly office. I think that's the last one we had of that nature.
I think if we go on to the next page, the next chapter in Revelation, we have...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. We have...
shows something about that. Going over then to chapter 20 at verse 6, we learn something there.
Verse 4.
Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. That first resurrection is the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years, showing that he will reign as king for 1,000 years and the overcomers will reign with him.
And if you look at verse 4 in that same chapter, we see again about his reign for 1,000 years. And this is the point we're making here. This kingdom of Christ is going to be for 1,000 years. Verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them." So the rulers are being set up here. "And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image." So you see, those who had not worshipped the beast or his image would have to be tribulation saints who had been beheaded. And the souls, I saw their souls in heaven.
They didn't have their bodies yet.
They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And the rest of that did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. So those would be the unbelieving dead. And at the end of that 1,000 years is the time of the great white throne judgment. So that's when they would come to alive and be judged. And then be thrown into everlasting fire.
Okay, did you want to go back to Isaiah then now? 9.
Right, Isaiah 9:6. Now this is a real familiar one. And when we start this one, we almost feel like it must be Christmas time. Because that's when we read this one usually. Isaiah 9:6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders." And we're talking about Jesus the King. And the government didn't rest on his shoulders when he was here the first time. "And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace." This is the kingdom of Christ. "On the throne of David," let me read that verse 7 again. "There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." So this is not something that man has to accomplish. God is going to bring this about.
And some more in Isaiah 11.
Is 2 pages over.
Showing Christ as the king. I think we could start at verse 4. It says, with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And it goes on, and that's a picture of his kingliness, ruling with the rod of his. It says he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and slay the wicked with the breath of his lips. There just won't be anything stopping him from stopping wickedness. And he's going to rule faithfully. He's going to judge fairly, and with righteousness he's going to judge the poor. And it goes on then talking about other things concerning the kingdom that don't really express about his kingship, but it just kind of concludes there at 9, that the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So this kingship, or this office of king that Jesus will hold, will be over the earth. The earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So we can just look forward to that time on this earth.
Now then, turn to the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 25, 31 and 32. The Olivet Discourse is Matthew 24 and 25. So this is toward the end of the Olivet Discourse. And here we'll just see Jesus coming in his glory and sitting on his throne. Verse 31, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. So that's on the earth. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So this is immediately after the tribulation period. And these are people who come through the tribulation period. Some will be sheep, believers. Some will be goats, unbelievers. And he's going to separate. He's going to judge between those who have made it through the tribulation period. And the sheep will enter into the kingdom. The goats will be taken out. And their end was eternal fire. And it's interesting that in verse 31 it says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, that in Psalm 24:10 it talks about this King of glory. Lift up your heads, and verses 9 and 10, Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. So that's a psalm that's looking forward to the time when the King of glory comes in and the Son of Man comes in his glory.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. Next to the last book in the Old Testament. This is a favorite scripture of mine. I don't know what kind of mental gyrations you have to do to interpret this the way that some do interpret it, because it's so very, very plain. It says that, and the whole chapter is beautiful to read, but this states very plainly, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. There will be one king, not many kings. He will be ruler over all the earth. Of course, he rules from the heavens now. He is ruler over everything. In fact, he created everything. But he will enter the office of king on the earth one day, and his name will be the only one that people will speak as king.
The next scripture is Psalm 89, and we'll look at verses 3 and 4, and then we'll jump over to verses 35 through 37. And this is talking about that Davidic covenant. This is speaking of that Davidic covenant. In my Bible, it's this chapter is titled, The Lord's Covenant with David and Israel's Afflictions. So verse 3 and 4 says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. And then if we jump down to verse 35, we read, Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, and the witness in the sky is faithful. The moon is faithful, and the witness in the sky is faithful. And then there's that little word, Selah, which means pause, think about it.
Okay, well, we've already done Daniel 2 listed there, as well as the other scriptures, so I think that finishes demonstrating pretty plainly. There are many others we could go to, but demonstrating that Christ will hold a particular office. It's not yet. He has not yet held it. He is certainly a great high priest in heaven for us, a wonderful Savior, and the person of the King when he came the first time. But he will enter upon that office immediately following the Great Tribulation. He will sit upon the throne of David and rule over this whole earth, literally. And it's going to look completely different. It's not going to have any of the worldly kingdoms left in it. It's going to be totally renovated.
So this will be the time of glory. And this is the time about which Romans 8:18 speaks, where it says, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. And that glory is what was spoken about in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, where it says, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. This is a time to really look forward to and be excited about. Mm-hmm.